You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Good morning, church family. Keith wanted me to remind you of the truth that worship is something that we participate in. And maybe since we're in our living room here, and you're in your living room, wherever you find yourself, it's not so much all of you sitting in a pew, kind of like spectators, and we're on stage. This is more intimate, and it's a reminder of that truth that we were all created to worship. And so even as we're listening to God's word, we're participating in it. And so as you're listening, you're participating in the worship of God as we listen attentively to his word this morning. So I went into town this past week. I went to a place called Home Depot. And you may not know this, but I not only love this store, but I used to work there. I used to don the sacred orange apron. And when I got there, you could see that they were only letting 50 people in at a time, which is great. And so they had customers lining up in this kind of maze-like path that they had made out of pallets. And so we were all waiting there, and everyone's 6 feet apart, and everyone's kind of nervous, making sure, looking around, that everyone's obeying that. And when I finally got into Home Depot, there was this eerie quietness, and the air was full of nerves, and no one was talking. And then I happened to see some of my old coworkers there, and we got talking, and it kind of felt like we were in another world, like we were in a dystopian novel. And they were there wearing N95 masks, and they were wearing gloves, and then there were plexiglass shields protecting them from any spittle or any kind of contagion. And as they were sharing with me about their life and working there, I could see that they were nervous, and they're nervous of catching the virus, and they're unsure of where this pandemic is going to lead us, what it's going to do to maybe their families and their loved ones or the economy. And I could see fear in their eyes. And I recognize that fear because it's in me too. And I suspect that if you were with me there as well, in that place, you would have seen the fear. And you would have seen it in yourself a bit too. And that's because we're all in the same boat. We're all caught up in the same storm. And whether you are retired, or whether you are a cashier that's maybe been laid off, or you're a carpenter, or you're a student, we all are in this boat together. And behind all our fears and anxieties, there's this subterranean sense of disorientation. Last week, Keith talked about disorientation, and he put it into perspective. He described it like a storm that's raging and unpredictable. But then from Psalm 46, he proclaimed to us a greater truth to reorient us. He said from the psalm, God is greater than any storm. And then as his sermon progressed, Keith called us to start our days, not with the headlines, but with his lines, with God's word. And so Psalm 46:1, we anchor ourselves in this truth, that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And I don't know about you, but I have held on to that image all week as I have been tracking the news. And as I've been hearing the updates and the spread of COVID-19, I've been holding on to the image that God is our refuge. This morning, I want to bring another image to you of who God is. And we're going to stay in the Psalms. If last week's picture of God was of his sovereign power protecting us like a refuge, this morning's image is of God's intimate care guiding us like a shepherd. And so you may have guessed we're going to be going to Psalm 23. This is perhaps the most well-known psalm in our Psalter. And so I invite you to pick up your Bible, and you can read along with me in the version that you have. And we're going to read through the whole psalm, but then my message is only going to focus on the first half, verses 1 to 4. And we're going to look at two things about God. We're going to look at His provision in our life, and we're going to look at His presence in our life. So let's read Psalm 23. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Lord. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. Surely, Lord, Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's look at God's provision here. When the Lord is your shepherd, when you are under His care and His leadership, you will never lack. Now, this can mean many things, but one thing it doesn't mean is that as Christians, we get the easy road in life. Remember who wrote this psalm. David wrote this psalm. And if you know a bit about his personal story, his road to kingship was no cakewalk. He experienced bitter hunger, threat of death, loss of reputation. For a long time, he was on the run from King Saul, fearing for his life. There was a bounty on his head. And yet, through all those years running for his life, God cared for David in such a way that David never lacked for what he needed. David had everything he needed to live out God's purposes for his life. And so it's true what Hudson Taylor said, that 19th century pioneering missionary to China who founded the China Inland Mission. He said this about God's faithful care in our lives. He said, God's work done in God's way never lacks God's supply. God's work done in God's way never lacks His supply. We've heard stories of panic buying and empty toilet paper aisles, and you've probably seen them. And of people profiteering in parks and parking lots, selling essential goods like N95 masks and hand sanitizer at cutthroat prices. And while we may shake our heads at these selfish actions, behind them is a heart that we can easily share. It's a heart that's unfamiliar with the shepherding care of God. These are actions of a shepherdless people. They don't know God's care. For if the Lord is your shepherd, you will experience His daily provision in your life. And when you are held in God's care, lacking nothing, there is no need to hoard. There is no need to profit at another person's expense. As Jesus will say of those who are in His kingdom, you won't be running after all these things. There'll be a resting. Just look at how God cares for us. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for His name's sake. There is a cascade of verbs that David uses here, each one building upon the last in this crescendo of divine care. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes me. He guides me. In the face of COVID-19, maybe for some, God can feel absent. I want God's word to speak to that sense. God is not an absentee shepherd. He is not the hired hand who flees at the first sign of risk to himself. God is never absent. God is an ever-present help in our time of need. He is our refuge. And not only that, He is our shepherd, caring for us at all times. And this personal involvement of the shepherd, this hands-on care in our lives, is needed because, like actual sheep, we don't typically lead ourselves to rest, to green pastures, to quietness, to right paths. As I was studying for this sermon, I read Philip Keller's classic book on this psalm. It's entitled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller was actually a shepherd in Africa. And he relays something very interesting about sheep, that left to themselves, sheep can make a mess of things and literally end up upside down. So when a sheep gets stuck upside down, it's called getting cast. Sometimes when a sheep lies down and makes itself comfortable, they can get stuck on their backs with their hooves up in the air like awkward little stilts. And they're stuck there. And whether it's because they're pregnant or their fleece is too heavy or they're scared and panicked, they just cannot get out of that positioning unless the shepherd comes to help. And it can happen that if the shepherd does not come to help them, they can perish in that position. And it makes me think about us as sheep. Have you ever experienced this sense of life being upside down? And this pandemic certainly is making it easy for us to feel disoriented. Life can feel a bit upside down. And we can get stuck in fear and anxiety and worry. But where would you and I be if it wasn't for the Good Shepherd? If when we were lost, there wasn't a shepherd that was willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. If there wasn't a shepherd that was willing to lay his own life down for the sake of the sheep. But we're never alone. We're never alone. There is one who comes seeking after us. He is, as the author of Hebrews writes, the great shepherd of the sheep. And he always is tending to us. He's always caring for us. And let's look at his care more closely. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller writes in his book that pastures are not green and lush on their own. They must be cultivated. So God allows us to rest in spaces he has carefully prepared for us. Many of us in this pandemic maybe have been laid off. Maybe we're not working, or maybe we're not working as much. Certainly not working the way we used to. I mean, for me, it's most of my work is now virtual pastoring. We live in strange times and our work has changed. And yet we still find ourselves busy, even though it may seem like we have a lot of free time. But we're busy at home and we're being busy, and it kind of distracts us from worry. But being busy is not something that leads to rest. And so in this invitation from the shepherd to rest in green pastures, there is in the background Sabbath rest, a weekly rhythm where we set apart 24 hours to delight ourselves in God and in his care for us. And I gotta say, I had one a few days ago and I feel like a new man. So I was getting so wound up last week with my new job here at MCA and all the responsibilities and how that will work in this new reality. I'm concerned about the pandemic, what it might mean for my daughter, who has a compromised immune system because she's born prematurely. We got to keep the house clean. We got four kids running around. I kind of felt like a cast sheep upside down, and I felt distant from God. But then I felt him leading me and inviting me to take a Sabbath. And so at 5 p.m. a few days ago, I turned off my phone. I stopped looking at the news. I even took an extra nap, which I find hard because I'm German. I just always want to be working. The Lord had to make me lie down and have a nap. And then I spent more time focused on the Lord and scripture and prayer. And then was able to be more present fully to my kids playing in the backyard and with my wife, spending time with her. And like I said, the next day I felt renewed. I felt completely reoriented to God's care in my life. And so friends, I want to invite you to that gift from God of Sabbath rest. This week, even right now, be thinking, is there a 24-hour period in this upcoming week that I can set apart for delighting in God, where I can exit the busyness, where I can stop the incessant watching of the news, and just enter God's green pasture of rest prepared for you. And there, just delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy him. Go for a walk in God's creation. Pray. Play with your kids. Read a spiritually encouraging book. Read the Bible. I remember just standing outside holding Maisie in my arm, and there was this blue jay up in a tree, and I don't normally watch birds, but I was just able to just enter in, and the blue jay sounded terrible. It was a beautiful bird, but we were just watching it, and I'm telling Maisie about this blue jay, and she's talking to me and all this gibberish. But it was just this restful moment. And so I want to invite you to that this week. Mark out 24-hour period and enter some Sabbath rest and enjoy and linger in the shepherd's care for you. We also see the shepherd leading us beside quiet waters. I didn't know this before my study, but and maybe you don't know either, but sheep cannot drink from turbulent, rushing waters. And so a good shepherd will lead his sheep to calm, slow-moving waters so that they can be refreshed. The word in the Hebrew there, to lead, means to escort with care. To escort with care. And so there's this picture of the Lord's loving leadership in our lives, even in the details of what we need. He's not going to lead us to places that do us no good. The shepherd knows us through and through, and so his leadership in our lives is always going to lead us to the good. That's why later in the psalm, David will say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Are you confident of the Lord's goodness in your life? Are you confident of his goodness? I want to encourage you to that, to trust, to lean on the shepherd's goodness in your life. He's going to lead you beside quiet waters, and he's going to refresh your soul. You see that in verse 3. He refreshes my soul. By soul, David is referring to the core of who we are as persons. It's really referring to our hearts. And as you know, our hearts can get tired. Our hearts can get disoriented. We can even lose heart. And maybe some of you feel that this morning. The verb there for refresh literally means to return. David is painting this beautiful picture of how when the Lord leads us, he leads us in such a way that our lost and tired hearts get returned to us refreshed and renewed. And that's because we can always trust his guidance in our life. God's guidance in our life without fail is going to lead us into his will and into those good things he has for us. And David speaks about that out of his own personal experience. He writes, the Lord guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Here, there's this image of a shepherd choosing stable paths for his sheep to walk because sheep don't naturally go to those paths. And so the shepherd is able to guide the sheep away from tripping hazards and to places that will lead to no good. And the shepherd is so committed to the safe guidance of his sheep that he stakes his own name, his very reputation, upon it. And David, in his own life, he experienced God guiding him along those right paths. And so can we as we follow, as we allow the shepherd to lead us in our life. That Hebrew word used to convey that idea of guidance is the same word used of God guiding Israel out of slavery to Egypt with the cloud by day and then the pillar of fire by night. And so with the Lord's guidance in our life, you're going to see it. It may not be a literal cloud, it may not be a pillar of fire, but it's going to be unmistakable. You're going to know the shepherd's guidance in your life. And it's going to be so encouraging. And many of us, we can look back at our lives and just see time and time again how the Lord guided us through various situations. And it's so important to hold on to this truth that God guides us in right paths, because there's going to be times when life gets dark and it's going to be very hard to see the shepherd. And so David writes about this in verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. The valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew here is startlingly graphic. It's one word, one terrible word. And this word is mostly found in the book of Job, where you have a man seemingly going through hell, and for him, God just feeling so far away. The word literally means pitch black, impenetrable gloom. And the word depicts the place that every person must walk in life because we live in a broken world. And it's never going to be on your calendar. It's always a surprise. And so the threat of COVID-19 and this whole pandemic is kind of a valley of the shadow of death. We're living in a shadow right now. Schools are closed. Entire sectors of the economy are just being put on hold. People are getting laid off. People are shut away in their homes. Some of you watching right now might be, you know, socially isolating in your home. And so life is a shadow of what it used to be. And this metaphor of darkness is meant to capture all of life's darker episodes. And as I look at my own experience, I think of one such time of darkness. 2 summers ago, I was up with my boys at Garden Lake Bible Camp and doing some speaking there. And suddenly I got rushed a phone call. And next thing I know, a doctor was telling me over the phone, "Marcus, we think your baby has a life-threatening blood clot, and we have to do something right away." Many of you know our daughter Maisie. She's 1.5 years old right now. But maybe some of you don't know that our family went through a valley of the shadow of death in order for Maisie to be here today. And so after that phone call at camp, Beth would deliver Maisie, 3 months premature. And there was a bunch of complications. And there were times we didn't know if Maisie was going to survive. And it really was a valley of the shadow of death. And it was probably one of the hardest seasons that my family and I have ever been through. And I wonder about you today. When you hear that metaphor of the valley of the shadow of death, what memories come to mind? What have you walked through? And what are you walking through right now? Maybe you've learned of someone in your life that's got an illness, or they're not doing well, and it's hard to hear them not doing well, and you can't be with them. And so, you know, fear can happen, and it's that shadow of death. Or maybe you're struggling to get a handle on your mental health, and so you're saying with the psalmist, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" And there seems to be no answer, no reprieve. But again, this valley of the shadow of death. I'm sure many of us can relate to that metaphor right now. It's in this place that we all must travel as sheep in God's broken world. This place that the shepherd can feel utterly absent. And it's a place where you can feel like or think that you might lose your faith. But somehow it's right here in the valley that we are given an opportunity to have real faith. Just like David did long ago. For all this talk of God in the light, when we're in the green pastures and things are going well, we speak of him in the third person. He is this, he is that. Oh, God is this, God is that. And that's all well and good. But suddenly in the valley of the shadows, God talk becomes incredibly personal and face to face. Did you see that shift in verse 4? In verses 1 to 3, David speaks of God in the third person. He leads me. He makes me lie down. He guides me. But here, in the valley of the shadows of death, David does not say of the Lord, "For he is with me." No, it's here in the presence of death, with everything hanging in the balance, that the Lord draws near. His presence unmistakably known to David, and David sings out, "For you are with me." Look at your life. Don't you see what David is saying here? If you know the Lord, haven't you seen, like David, haven't you seen the Lord's presence in the darkness? Lord, I know that you are with me. It's hard to explain. When Beth and I were at the children's hospital, and we would be in Maisie's room there, and she's hooked up to all these machines that are keeping her alive, we just knew that God was with us. But that assurance of God's presence didn't come to us like the comforting beeps on the monitor or with the scientific clarity of the digital graph charting Maisie's heart rate. But it was true nonetheless that God was with us. And when Beth and I would pray together at night, we'd be overwhelmed with the sense of God's presence being with us. And so we could say with David, Lord, you are with us. We know you're with us. And so we're not going to walk in fear here. This is the experience of all God's sheep ever since the beginning. All throughout the divine story of Scripture, the shepherd whispers this promise of his presence to sheep in every age. To you. To Isaac caught in a famine, he says, stay here, for I will be with you. To Moses struggling to lead, the Lord says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Jesus, describing himself as the good shepherd, he says, the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. He goes before them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So I don't know how many of you are dwelling in the valley right now, but I want all of us to just hear this. And I close with this. May you know the Lord's presence and the accompanying settling of your fears. And may you, in the comfort of his presence, begin to hear the Lord's voice. And then begin to say, begin to sing, begin to pray with David, Lord, you are with me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. There's a lot of words being given to us through media and the internet, and they are important words, God. But we need to anchor ourselves in your word, in your truth of, Lord, who you are in this time. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are not only a refuge in times of trouble, but God, you are our shepherd, even through the valley. And so we are not called to live in fear. But Lord, we are called to faith. We are called to joy. We are called to peace. And so I want to pray your peace. I want to pray your shepherding love and care over our people this morning. That as, Lord, you care for us, we would care for those around us with the love of Christ. And so we pray these things in his name. All God's people said, amen.